Parshas Shmini, of course it's also Parshas Parah, but we're going to focus on Parshas Shmini, and especially on one particular dimension of the Kashrus laws, which is given here. The Pasuk says, Zos hachaya asher tochlu mikol habeima asher al haaretz. And the Torah gives us now the Simoni Kashrus. Kol mafreses parsa v'shosa shesa maile gera b'behema osa tochelu. So we have an indication that we need these Simonim. We need mafreses parsa, we need maile gera. Mafreses parsa, as we'll soon see, is something that's obvious, it's apparent. You can see it on the outside. In contrast to maile gera. Maile gera is something you can't see on the outside. It's only on the inside. And then the Torah goes ahead and delineates four species of animals that you're not allowed to eat. And that is because these simonim only demonstrate one of the two simonim. Now we're going to divide up these four into two groups. One group is made up of three and the other group is made up of one. And the Torah says the following, Ach et zelo tochelu, amongst the animals that have the simonim, but in this case only one of the simonim, es hagamol ki male gerahu uparsa ena mafris, es hashafan ki male gerahu parsa lo yafris, es harneves ki male gerahu parsa lo ifrisa. So we have now these three species of animals, all of which have the simon of Malei Gera, but are missing Mafreses Parsa. That's three. Then the Torah delineates the Chazir, is Mafreses Parsa, but Gera lo Yigar, Tomehu lochem, lo Sochlu bin Nivlosam lo Sigu, Tmeim heim lochem. So we have one species which is singled out, it has one of the Simoni Tara, that's Mafreses Parsa. On the outside, you look at it, split hooves, it seems kosher, but on the inside, it's not Male Gera. Okay, fine. Now, the Chazal in the Medrash claim that these four, the number four here, is not just coincidental, but rather that these four are symbols of the four kingships that will subjugate the Jewish people over history, the Arba Malchios. And that's going to be our connection to Pesach, because according to the Yerushalmi, we drink four cups of wine, connected to Dalid Malchios. So we have the following. According to the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, here in Parsha Shmini, Es HaGamal Zo Bavel, Es Arneves Zo Yavon, Es HaShafan Zo Modai, Vesachazir Zo Edom. Now it's interesting that the last of the four is the Chazir, and the last of the Golios historically is Edom. So we have here these two columns, and we can make a parallel here between, a matching if you will, between Chazir and Edom. The Medrash goes on to ask, Lama Nikra Shma Chazir? What is it in the name Chazir that gives you some indication? Shemachzeres Atara Lebaleha. That somehow the Chazir, and we're going to soon see once it's defeated, is going to bring us back to our original state of Atara Barosha, meaning our crown. So in other words, the name Chazir is a symbol, a hint at what's going to happen at the end of time, meaning at the Akhris HaYomim. The Pasuk says, the Olam Oshim Bar Tzion Lishpotus Har Esav V'Yisol Hashem HaMelucha. Esav is Edom, and at the end of days the Moshiim and the Mashiach will come from Har Tzion and they will defeat Esav or Edom. And that's going to be Machzeres Ateres Lebailah. So, B'li Neder, as we go along, we'll try to get a deeper insight into this concept of machzeres atara labaila. Now, what we see here is that this parsha, like all of the Torah, can be understood on two levels. There's one level which we could see, we could hear, we could feel. That's the simple pshat. These are the realities of what you're allowed to eat and what we're enjoined from eating. But on a deeper level, there's something going on below the surface which has nothing to do with achila per se, but rather has to do with the golios, and we're going to single out the golios Edom, which is the last of the golios, which is compared to the chazir. Let's try to understand something about golios Edom and reflect back on the chazir and its qualities and try to get a grasp at the relationship between the chazir and golios Edom. We'll begin with the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Yoma, Daf Tes, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer, the Amri Chavai, what's the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? Rishonim, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, Nisgala Avonam. It's a Maila if somebody is willing to publicize his sins. Again, there are various nuances of dinim that will leave for Chodesh El, but suffice it to say that a Jew should not be trying to cover up his sins. He should be able to be bold enough and face the sins, declare them. And at the time of Bayis Rishon, the people of Israel were very aware of their sin and they revealed their sin. As a payment, as a reward for their willingness to be open about it, to be revealed about it, God reveals to them when the bias, this period of Golus, Bayis Rishon, will terminate. And that's going to be the 70 years that the Navi tells them, Efkod Eschem. And that's as far as the first bias. So there's a Gilui and a Gilui. The people of Israel are Megala the Chet, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala the Kates. In the case of Bayis Sheni, Lo Nisgalu Avonam, the Rishus was hidden below the surface. On the outside they looked very religious, but there was an inner hatred and an inner sin. That's what we call Rishayim B'Seser. And therefore God never reveals the case. When is going to be the termination of that golus? We don't know. To this day we don't know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tova Tziporan Shal Rishonim Mikreisan Shal Achronim. What does this mean? Literally, if you translate it, it doesn't make much sense. The Tziporan is the nail, and the Kresa is the belly, and the fingernails of the base of the Jewish people in the Bayis Rishon are greater than even the stomach of the Jews in Bayis Sheni. So the Gaon has an insight into this sugya, this agadah in Masechta Yoma. He says, let's analyze the difference between three of the Balei Chayim Tmeim, that's Gamal, Shafan, and Arneves, and one which is on the other side in Kachas the Chazir. The three have what you call Tuma Gluya. You look at their hooves, and guess what? They don't have split hooves. Okay. They don't have split hooves. Everything is begolut. As far as the Nistar inside, they're kosher. They have Maila Geira. The Chazir is just the opposite. That's not Gilui, but rather that's Nistar. You look at the Chazir, and the Chazir displays his split hooves. He presents himself as a kosher animal. The real Rishus, the real Tuma, is on the inside. It's Beseser. So therefore we could say that three out of the four of the Balei Chayim Tmeim are reflective of Bayis Rishon, which is means Nisgala Avonam, Nisgala Tumasam, whereas one is reflective of Bayis Sheni, Lo Nisgala Avonam, but rather Kisu Es Avonam. And therefore, says the Gaon, the onesh, the punishment, is going to be measure for measure. In the case of the first three Goliaths, that's Bavel, Madai, and Yavan, which are compared to these three Balichaim, the Gamal, the Shafan, and the Arneves, where the Siman Tuma is the Golui, therefore the punishment is a little bit, what word do I want to use, a little bit softened, because they were Megala Deravonam, and Nizgala Ketzam. Nizgala Ketzam means you have to be patient, but there will be, and we can already tell you when, the Golus will terminate. In the case of the Achronim, where they look on the outside and they present themselves as Tzadikim, that's a terrible kind of rishus. It's there to fool us. And we'll soon see how Esav is the personification of fooling us. The Chazir tries to fool us, showing its split hooves, and therefore, with a very harsh punishment, we live in Golus Edom, and we don't know when it's going to end. You know, if a person is in jail, but he knows he's going to get out of jail at a certain date, psychologically, it's a little easier for him to live with it. But when it's Lo Nizgala Ketzam, and we have no clue when this terrible Golus is going to end, that's a very painful experience. Says the Gaon, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, Tova Tziporin shall Rishonim? He meant to refer to the Averos Begolui. The Tziporin is on the outside, and Nanshu Begimel Golios was symbolized by the Tziporin. In other words, as far as Malagera is concerned, in the Kresa, in their stomachs, no problem. They have the Simantara. On the outside, they were Megala, they revealed the Tziporin. The Tziporin here, in the case of these three species of animals, represents the split hooves, which they lack. They don't have split hooves. They don't have Mafresis Parsa. That's called the Tziporin. And their situation, meaning the Tziporin of these three Golios, is better than Kreson Shel Achronim. Kreson refers to something that's covered up. It's inside the belly. And that is going to be Golus Edom. And that Golus is going to be the most difficult of them all, qualitatively. And therefore, it's worse than even the Tziporin of any of the three Rishonim. And what we're getting here from the Vilna Gaon is an insight into the great danger of the fourth Golus. The fourth Golus is the most dangerous of them all because it's represented by the Kresa, it's represented by the absence of Malagera. It's all below the surface. It's all secret. It's all concealed. That becomes the most dangerous of all Golios. When the Rishus, when the Tuma is all concealed. It's below the surface. On the outside, it looks very alluring. It looks very beautiful. It's got split hooves. Now, the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, which you'll see on the bottom left of your first page, he writes, B'medrash, Arba mini behemos tmeos, Romzim ledalid malchus, Chazir romez le'edom, V'shakul keneged shloshtam. I'm not sure where he gets this from, but he claims that if you put the four Goliaths on the scale, just put one of the four, and that's Edom, and it weighs as much as the other three combined. And he says the reason for that is because the last of the Goliaths represents Esav. Esav is the antithesis of Yaakov. Yaakov represents the Mid of Emes, Titein Emes LiYaakov. And Emes is the seal of God. Emes is what keeps up the world, and it's the Briach HaTichon of the Mishkan representing the Shekhinah. The Chazir, as the personification of Esav, picks up its hooves, shows you that it has split hooves. Amtar, it's all Sheker. It's all fabrication. It's the antithesis of Yaakov. Because you have Yaakov on one end, one polar extreme, and you have Esav as the antithesis of Yaakov. Esav is the chazir. Esav is the one who's going to fool his father. We'll see about that later. And he's going to present himself as being kosher v'yosher. But those who know the truth realize that Esav is the exact opposite of Yaakov. He's sheker. Yaakov represents and personifies emes. So when the Medrash says that Esav is nimshal lechazir, because the chazir is mafris parsa, what it means is the chazir tries to show us its hooves and convince us, I'm kosher, I'm tahor, I'm a clean animal. Malchus Edom is going to do the same thing. The Golus of Edom is all about a chitzonius, it's all about an externalities which are lies and fabrications. Malchus Edom, in the words of the Avnei Nezer, Mizgoe, they're very proud of themselves. But yet, Chomeses v'gozelos, it's all gzela, it's all theft, it's all to pull the wool over our eyes. To try to show us, on the outside, that we're very religious, we're very pious, we're very ethical, we are very moral, we represent Tahara. And what's lacking here, in the fourth golus, is Mishpat v'tzedek, is to really get down to the truth. And here we're going to turn to page 2. The Avnei Nezer continues, and he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that these three non-kosher animals, the Gamal, the Shafan, and the Arnona, Arneves, are all recorded in one Pasuk. The Chazir gets its own Pasuk. And why is the Chazir in its own verse? Because, says Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shkula keneged shloshtan. And this could be the source, perhaps, for the Avnei Nezer that we said that the severity of the last Golos weighs as much as the combined three Golios. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, Yesera, that this fourth Golos is even worse than the first three Golios. Says the Avnei Nezer, the deeper meaning here is that Yaakov and Esav represent polar opposites, Kedusha and Tumah, Zela Umazet. Yaakov Avinu is the Shoresh, the root of Kedusha, of the sanctity of Klal Yisrael, which means to be Dovek B'midas HaEmes, Tite Nemes LiYaakov. The Mishkan represents this concept of Tite Nemes LiYaakov. The Zohar is famous for saying, and we've quoted it in the past, HaBriach HaTichon Dahu Yaakov Kadisha Shlema. This is Yaakov, who's the Bechira Avos. He's Dmus Diyukno Tachas Kisei HaKavod. His Midas Emes. Everything is built on Emes. All at Vekus in Shechina is because of Yaakov's Midas of Emes, that he was Mashpia on his descendants. That is the foundation for everything. Without Emes, there's nothing. The opposite of Emes is Edom, which is the Chazir. Again, way beyond the fact that it's a non-kosher animal, but rather that its essence is Sheker, is Ramos, is to try to trick and to try to mislead, to fabricate the truth. It shows you its Mafris Parsa as if it was a kosher Torah animal, but it's not. And since the power and the force of evil here in the Tumah of the Chazir of Edom is so antithetical, so profoundly antithetical to Yaakov Avinu and the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, therefore the last Golus, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Golus of Edom is Shkula Keneged Kulam. It is so powerful. It undermines and it corrupts the very foundation of our life as a Jewish nation, namely the Midah of Yaakov Avinu of Emes. This is the opposite. Sheker. Sheker is the most dangerous of all the Golios. That Golios that is the paradigm of Sheker, namely Edom. As far as Gamal, Shafan, and Arneves is concerned, yes, they are klipos of Tumah, but at least they're honest about it. They don't come to mislead us. They display their hatred and their Tumah. But Esav, Edom, That's the chazir. He covers and he hides his tumah that's inside his body. He's not a maligera. Only on the outside, he says, look at me, I am tahar, look at my split hooves. That galus is shkula keneged kula. Now, Rabbosai, the next piece that we're going to learn is a bit, I wouldn't call it controversial, but it really touches on a sensitive nerve. What I mean is the following. When we learn halacha, we learn halacha. Neto halacha, period. End of quote. When we learn agadata, we learn philosophy, we learn hashkafa. We don't take the words of halacha, the words of a mishnah, or a gemara, and turn it inside out and upside down to make it symbolism. That's really, in a sense, chassidus in the extreme form. And when I say extreme form, you know, if I tell you that shor shenogach es hapara, well, the shor is this klipa and the par is that, you know, that already touches on a very sensitive nerve. So I'm just giving you this introduction because you might get sensitive to the next piece in the Shvilei Pinchas. And if you're what I call a kalta litvak, I don't blame you, because in that sense I'm also a kalta litvak. And he takes his sugya in halacha. And again, you have to apply the principle of paradise of Pshat Remez Drushin Son and Shivim Panim LaTorah in order to appreciate this sugya the way he's going to present it. The Gemara wants to know, what malacha do you violate on Shabbos when you slaughter an animal? Shechita mishumai mechayev. And the Gemara quotes a machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, yechayev mishum tzoveah. Because the blood colors the neck, and that makes it more valuable on the market. It's a fresh piece of meat. Shmuel says, Yochayev Mishum Netilas Neshama, because he took the life of the animal. Would Rav agree to Shmuel? Would Shmuel agree to Rav? That's a whole sugya. Now, could it be, and I smile here because, again, it's a whole different approach, that what you're shechting here is not a behema. And what you're chayev for is not a malacha. And what you're violating is not Shabbos, meaning on a deeper level. If you take the Gemara on a symbolic level, and this is the approach of Chassidus, and of course the founder, the Baal Shem, what we're talking about is not, or at least not just, you know, the animal that you're shechting. We're talking about the ultimate shechita. The ultimate shechita. The ultimate shechita with a capital U and with five exclamation marks at the end is codified in the Gemara in Sukkah, Dafnam Nun Beis. And the Gemara says, Liyosid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht. What's he going to shecht? Who's he going to shecht? The Yetzer Hara. So the whole sugya in Shabbos now has to be re-examined, because the shechita is not a shechita of behema, and it doesn't necessarily take place on Shabbos. It's the shechita of the Yetzer Hara. Shochet mishumai mechayev. What was the Gemara's question? The Yetzer Hara is a kind of a shochet, and he's going to get his midah keneged midah when Hashem shechts him. His shechita is mefate adam l'dvar avera. But there are two categories of mefate adam l'dvar avera. In one sense, the Yetzer Hara intensifies our desire, our passion, our hedonistic drive. And the Yetzer Hara presents to us a vision of something that's very alluring, very attractive. It has almost a gravitational pull. But everything is clear. All the cards are on the table. But there's another type of pitui la'avera, and that's much more severe. And that's when the Yetzer Hara tries to convince you that what you're about to do is a mitzvah. It's not an avera. If you take, for example, the paradigm of the Nachash HaKadmoni. The Nachash, according to the Zohar and Chazal and Medrash, says, you know what? Why don't you increase your pressure, your attraction to evil? Why should your decisions, your ethical decisions, be so simple, where everything is clear, where you know that you shouldn't be doing something that would rebel against the will of God, because that would be like taking your tongue and putting it in fire. That's too clear. That's not a challenge. You have to challenge yourself. Eat from the Eitz Hadas. You'll become like Elohim Tov V'ra. And then your challenge is so much greater. This is the ultimate Yetzer Hara that converts evil into good. It's all about fabrication. It's all about misleading a person into thinking that what he's doing is a mitzvah. And if you take a look at the middle column here on page 2, the machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel. Shochet mishumai chayav. Tosfos says shochet di alma, the one who shechts the entire world. Perhaps Tosfos means the Yetzer Hara is the shochet, because he catches you in his net, and once you're captured, you go down, down, down. Rav says that why is the Yetzer Hara chayav? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to shech the Yetzer Hara? After all, if the Yetzer Hara would be allowed to speak in its own self-defense, it would certainly claim, I'm battling against man to try to trip him up, because that's why I was created. I am an agent of the Almighty. Do I deserve to be shechted? And Rav, in answering this perplexing question, Mishumai Chayav, why is the Yetzer Hara to be Chayav? Mishum Tzoveya, says Rav, there is a certain parameter, certain bounds. The Yetzer Hara was given a commission to tempt man. But it's got to be begolui. It's got to be clear. It's got to be revealed. This is your choice. You can enjoy this world, indulge in pleasures, violate the will of God, or you can somehow discipline yourself and commit yourself to the will of God. That's your choice. Everything is crystal clear. But sometimes the Yetzer Hara oversteps its bounds, and that's called Tzoveya. Tzoveya is an entirely different entity of a battle between the Yetzer Hara and man. Here, Tzoveya, Miloshen Tzviut, hypocrisy, when you color something, you change its outward appearance and you conceal its true identity. That's called Hester. He's Mastir. When something is begolui, if a person is a God-fearing individual, he can face that which is golui, and if he garnishes enough energy, he can overcome the temptation of the Yetzer Hara. But when the Yetzer Hara becomes so brilliant and so diplomatic and so mituchkam that it convinces a Jew, even if he's a Yirei Shamayim, that what's really going on is a mitzvah. That mirma, that falsehood of the Yetzer Hara, that's already tzoveya. When you take an avera and you paint it and you make it look like a mitzvah. You know, Chazal say about the Maisa of Zimri and Cosby in Parshas Pinchas, that according to the Zohar and other Midrashim, he had a whole philosophy worked out, this guy Zimri, that he was really meant to have relations with this woman. And it was a big mitzvah. That's when the Yetzer Hara tells you that your Aver is a mitzvah. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, you can take a Sefer Torah, and if it's heavy enough, you can kill someone with the Sefer Torah. Everything can be done for the sake of the Torah. And that's fakrub, that's when you take an avera and you dress it up as a mitzvah. This is the most dangerous ploy, the most dangerous tact of the Yetzer Hara. Misukan ma'ot. It's not easy to guard yourself, to overcome and face the challenge of that kind of Yetzer Hara. Even the Yetzer Tov, as strong as it is, sometimes it's not powerful enough to defeat the Yetzer Hara, who's convincing the Yetzer Tov that this is Tov, that this is good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Yetzer Hara, gives him a shus to seduce man, to attract man to evil, but it's only begolui. Man is facing a clear-cut choice. Will he overcome his hedonistic tendencies and desire for pleasure? But now, the Yetzer Hara goes beyond. You know, you gave me reshus. You gave me the shofar. I'm going to keep blowing. You know, you gave me the reshus to tempt man. I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to be merame es ha'adam. I'm going to be hofech es an aveir le'mitzvah. I'm going to be the tzoveya. That is an absolute mered, a rebellion against God, even within the purview of the malach called Samoel, the malach who's called the Yetzer Hara. He, the Yetzer Hara, now deserves a punishment. He's taken it too far. And liyosid lava kosh brachu shechted. So shochet mishumai machayv, the ultimate shochet is chayv for what? Why will he get shechted? Because of tzoveya, because he, with hypocrisy and with tact and with all his mirma, with all his fooling, he dresses it up, he packages it as if it were a mitzvah. Again, as far as Shmuel is concerned, that's a different discussion. But we're going to focus on Rav. Who is the Yetzer Hara? Chazal identified the Yetzer Hara as Soro Shel Esav. He's the individual who's going to battle with Yaakov Avinu during that very long night. He is going to try to trap Yaakov Avinu in his net. He's going to show Yaakov Avinu Simani Tara. Look at my hooves. I am a kosher animal. Vayivaser Yaakov levado, vayiovek ish imo ad alos hashachar. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni omar ki goy nidmelo, but Rava bar Ula omar ki talmid chacham nidmelo. Imagine, Rabosai, the sorrow shel Esav is presenting himself as a ganzer feiner talmid chacham. He understands the sugya better than you and I will ever understand the sugya. He shows up with a button payas, and he's going to tell you how to violate the Torah, but he's going to present it as if it was all, he's mitayras asheretz with 150 ways. This is the malach that's battling with Yaakov Avinu, the Soros Shel Esav, on the highest, most intense level of the Yetzer Hara. He's already crossing his bounds. He's beyond the purview of his agency. And he's going to present himself as a Talmud Chacham according to Rava ben Ula. Kigoy Nigmelo? That's okay. That's within the purview, the rights of the Yetzer Hara. He appears as a guy. You know he's trying to tempt you. He's showing you all the neon lights and all the attraction of live and be merry. But a Talmud Chacham Nigmelo? That's already the Yetzer Hara in his most dangerous form. Overstepping his bounds, he is now the tzoveya. He is now being mefates ha'odom by convincing man that what is evil is really good, what is an avera is really a mitzvah. And this is what the chazir is all about. The chazir represents the Soros Shel Esav. The chazir represents Samoel, the Yetzer Hara in its most dangerous form. The Tzorer, the enemy, who's trying to catch us in his net by showing us, everything is kosher v'yosher. I'm glat mahadrin. I got badatz hechsher. He shows his tzlofim. He shows his mafreses parso. I'm the Talmud Chacham. He wears the garments of the Talmud Chacham. He tries to show man that he's L'Shem Shemayim, that he's serving Hashem in the true way. Join me on board. That's the allurement of the Yetzer Hara as the Chazir, as the Sarah Shel Esav, in its most difficult and most challenging and dangerous form. Now we get to talk about Golus Edom. We just finished saying that Golus Edom is Shakul Keneged the other three Golios, because Golus Edom represents the Kisui of Chatoim. It represents concealing the truth about who you are and what you are. Tova Tziporen Shel Rishonim. Shel Rishonim. The Rishonim, their averus were begilui. They never tried to cover it up. They admitted we were not able to overcome our Yetzirah. We were guilty of the three most severe sins. But we were clear about it. We were open about it. We didn't try to show you, well, we have mafresis parasa. They have no mafresis parasa. They have a tziporen and not a parasa, not mafresis parasa. They show klape chutz that what they intend to do was sin, and we admit it and we confess our sin, and we're willing to do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll go easy with you, and I'll tell you that in 70 years from now, the golus will end. But the kreson shel achronim, the last golus, which represents the avera b'seser, which represents that klape chutz, I'm going to show you that I'm a tzaddik, I'm going to be like Esav, I'm going to be like the chazir, I'm going to fool you and pull the wool over your eyes, that's the most difficult sakana of all. I'm going to show you my siponi tara, and I'm going to keep you present myself as if I was tar. And if we take this back to the story of the birth of Yaakov Avinu, Vayetze Rishon Admoni Kulo Kader Seor Vayikrushmo Esav Achkach Yotza Achiv V'yodo Ocheses B'Ekev Esav Vayikrushmo Yaakov. Rashi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov by his name, and Yaakov is called by the pasuk Yaakov by the pasuk V'yodo Ocheses B'Akev Esav. It's clear that the Achizas Yaakov, Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esav, is not just a simple action. It's much more profound. If that's his name, Yaakov, what is this Alchezes Be'akev Esav? What's it all about? And the answer is that Esav represents the Chazir, the Golus of Edom. He's poshed as tlof of klapi chutz. He shows his simoni tara. He shows you this external facade as if he is all good. That's the derech of Esav HaRasha. Vayhi Esav ish tzayid, says Rashi, shetzades habrios. He's merames aviv. He asks his father, how are we going to be mafresh maser on melach, on teven? Obviously, there's no hafreshes, none of these are gedulei karka, but he's going to convince his father that he's such a medagdik b'mitzvus, he's going to be mafresh from something that he's not chayav in. It's all sheker. Yaakov Avinu is the meat of emes. He has to stand up against sheker. He has to make sure with careful shmirah that we don't fall into the pach, this terrible trap of sheker that Esav is trying, and the Sarosh Esav is trying to present it. Yaakov is going to have to blaze, he's going to have to break the trail for us to make sure that we, his descendants, will not be nimshach, will not be allured by the sheker of Edom. Edom, like we'll see later on in the Mice of Korach, let's put on Talasim. And not only Talasim, let the Rishoyim present themselves as if they're super holy, because they're going to wear a talis that's kulot cheles. Again, trying to show themselves with a facade as if they're super duper kosher, when really all they're interested in is their own selves, in their own conceit and self-centered ambitions. The simone tuma of the Esav, of the Chazir, are inside, but on the outside there's a certain power to pull the wool over our eyes. The achrei chen yotza echa achiv v'yado ochezes v'akev Esav. Yaakov Avinu immediately when he pops his head out into this world, he shows with his finger, look at the tluff of Esav. Rabbosi, here's something beautiful here. Look at the hooves of Esav. Those are the simanim of Chazir that's Tomei. This is the Golus of Edom. Look at his Akev. And Yaakov says, I'm going to hold on to that Akev. And I'm going to expose it for what it really is. It looks like it's kosher. It looks like a Simon Tara. But it's all Sheker. Hence the name Yaakov. Hence the special role of Yaakov to be Megala Sheker, to show and to reveal the lies and the fabrications of Esav. It's all a facade. Don't be fooled by his Akev, by his Tlofim. And the truth is that the Torah tells us in this week's parasha, Mibsorim lo tochelu, ubinivlasam lo sigu, tmeyam heim lochem. Be very careful. This is the source of the most severe tumah. It's got tumas nevela. It's an israchila. It generates tumah. And keneged that tumah of nevela, keneged that tumah of the chazir, is Vayikra Shmo Esav, who Ochez Biakev Esav, Umegale Es HaSheker HaTominbo. Who is Yaakov Avinu, and why is he chosen to be the one who's going to reveal the Sheker of Akev Esav? And in order to appreciate Yaakov Avinu, we go back to the beginning. The Gemara in Kedusha tells us, Barasi Yetzer Hara. The most powerful weapon, perhaps the single exclusive weapon that we have against the Yetzer Hara, and certainly against the Yetzer Hara as the paradigm of Sheker, is Torah. Only Torah, if we understand it, can teach us, can train us ethically to differentiate between what looks like a mitzvah but is really an avera, and what is really a mitzvah. Ner mitzvah, but Torah is or. A ner is meaningful, but Torah is much more profound. Torah is or. Or is what reveals the truth. When things are in darkness, then the most evil thing can lurk in the shadows, completely concealed from man's ability to perceive what is really evil and is not good at all. And therefore, we need the R of Torah. Only the R of Torah can counter against this terrible phenomenon of the Yetzer Hara as a tzoveah, the Yetzer Hara as a budding peis who's showing you, look how kosher I am. Take a look at my hooves. I have split hooves. I'm a kosher animal. Only the Torah is the light of the Torah. It's the only thing that can help us navigate through this darkness, through this fooling us into thinking that this is good. This is a mitzvah when in truth it's an avera. And now we begin to understand and appreciate the concept of Torah at night. The Gemara tells us over and over again that the greatest Torah is the Torah that you study at night. The Zohar says about someone who wakes up in the nighttime to study Torah that Oraisa kamodina lechove velo orech dina elke ema de odina. A person who gets up at night and dedicates his energies to Amelus B'Torah, the Torah is going to teach him, says the Zohar, reveal to him what his sins are. Man is not aware of his sins. He believes that everything I did is justified. If I argued with my wife and I insulted her, I was well justified in doing so. It was a mitzvah. Don't I have to insult my wife if I think she crossed the bounds? But the answer is that although I'm not aware of my averus, if I study the Torah, and from that perspective, metaphysically means any part of the Torah, much more so if I study the Chafetz Chaim's Shmiras HaLashon, and I begin to realize that 90% of what I speak about is Asur, how much more so that's clear cut is going to reveal that what I think is a mitzvah is an Avera in truth. But any part of the Torah, metaphysically, is modia lo avanosav, it reveals to him what his sins are. And this, my friends, has nothing to do with onesh. We're not talking about punishments now. What we're talking about is a clarity of vision to penetrate below the surface and reveal that which is ethically and totally improper. To take the tzviya of the Yetzirah, that facade and that coloring, and overcome that. And therefore the Gemara says in Sukkah, Paga Becha Menuvel Zeh. Why is the Yetzirah called a Menuvel? There are many different words that you could use to describe the Yetzirah. But Menuvel is like the lowest of the low. Because the Menuvel is the Yetzirah HaTzoveas HaVer LeMitzvah. And Paga Becha is you have only one option. Mashcheu LeBeis HaMedrash. If the Menuvel is getting a hold of you, you must take him to the Beis Medrash. That's Esek HaTorah. That's living with the Chachamim. That's surrounding yourself in the atmosphere of Chachmas HaTorah, of Esek HaTorah, Amelus B'Torah. That's where you could reveal the Tzviya of the Yetzer Hara. Yaakov Avinu personifies the Torah. There are three Amudim on which the earth stands, and they parallel the three Avos. Avram Avinu is the Amud of Gemilas Chasodim. Yitzchak is the Amud of Avodah. And Yaakov Avinu is the Ish Tam Yosef Oholim. He is the Amud of Torah. And Yaakov Avinu represents Torah. Yaakov Avinu is Lan B'Torah B'Yom Kishal Torah. 14 years. He doesn't rest in 14 years. Totally dedicated in Shem V'Evra to Torah study. Yaakov becomes the Amud of Torah. Yaakov, therefore, is Yodo Ochezes B'Ekev Esav. He's the one who could show up the Tlofim. He's the one who could teach us how to protect ourselves against the Yetzer Hara. And as the Gemara, as the Medrash tells us, Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayodayim Yidei Esav. When is it Hakol Kol Yaakov? It's when Yaakov is Motzui in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Beis HaMedrash. Then ain Yodayim Yidei Esav. When it's Kol Yaakov, there's no Yodayim Yidei Esav. The Esav that tried, the Sar Shal Esav that tries to destroy Yaakov as the Tzovei of an Aver LeMitzvah, he will be destroyed, because Yaakov Avinu's Kol is a Kol of a Batei Knesios, of Batei Midrashos, dedicated to Torah study. And therefore when the Gemara tells us in Brachos, Ro Adam Sheisurim Boim Alav Yefashbeish B'Masav Shenemar Nechpesad Rachinu Menach Kovin Ashtur Al Hashem Pishbeish V'lo Matzah Yitla V'Bitul Torah Ribbono Shalom. He didn't find an Avera. Aren't there a million different answers to what his Avera is? What does it mean? His Avera is Bitul Torah. I'll give you another 613 possibilities. Why is it that Yitle B'Talmud Torah, B'Bitul Torah, when and the Gemara derives this from a pasuk, Ashrei Hagevesh T'Yasrenu Yud Kei U'Mitoras Chotel Amdenu, V'Sef is B'Tul Torah. But the answer is, if he's not finding an Avera, you know why he's not finding an Avera? Because he's convinced that it's a mitzvah. Because the Yetzer Hara is working overtime. That's B'Tul Torah. Obviously, he's not dedicated to Torah. And therefore he's not finding his Averis. And if this be the case, Rabosai, take a look at the Archaim HaKadosh, which you'll see on the bottom of the right column on page 4. The Zohar tells us, and the Archaim elaborates on this Zohar, that the ultimate Geula will be brought about B'Zchus Moshe Rabbeinu and B'Zchus Esek HaTorah, Moshe representing the transmitter of Torah. Says the, is that mine? Says the Archaim HaKadosh, Bo ure'e lecha shelo golu Yisrael ela al bitul Torah shenemar vayomer Hashem al azvam es Torasi. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Begolios HaRishonos Chazru B'Zchus Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Achshav Hem Chatu B'Torah Shenasati L'Moshe Kishi Yashuva V'Yisasku B'Torah B'Zchus Moshe Ani Gol. All the other Golios
are Golios of Avera Begilui. But the most dangerous Golos, the last of the four, is Edom, which is Averos Benistar. It's the Chazir that shows his Tlofim. That's the Klipa of Edom, of Esau, that tries to fabricate and be Tzovea. And now, says the Zohar, we need Yaakov Avinu. We need the Torah. Only the Torah could bring about the Geula. And the last Golus is because of Bittul Torah, as the Pasuk says, Yeshiva Yomer Hashem al Hazmeres Torasi. Which Torah? The Torah that would have given us the ability to defeat the Yetzirah. The Torah of Mashcheu Beis HaMedrash. The Torah of Menuvel Zeh, that counters the Menuvel. That's what we need. And that's what we're waiting for. A rededication to the study of Torah, personified by Yaakov Avinu. The Bittul HaGolus depends upon Hachzoras Esek HaTorah. This is what we're waiting for. And I think, Rabosai, we have certain signs that we're on the way. Amir Tzashem, although we know that there's so much going on out there, but there is an increase in Torah. And when I say the increase in Torah, it's really something amazing to see. I mean, people coming from families, you would never believe how they would dedicate, how much they're dedicated to Torah study. It's mind-boggling. Families that you would never anticipate. And the Yismach Moses says, Vayisrotzu abonim v'kirba, Rav Hosseinu darshu lashon ritza. That when she passed, we're talking about Rivka, when she passed the Pischei Torah of Shein V'Yever, Yaakov Avinu was running to try to get out. And when they passed the Pesach of Avodas Halilim, Esav was Mefarcheses Lotzes. Already in Me'ima, Yaakov is Tov. Yaakov Avinu wants good. He wants Torah. He wants Shein V'Yever. Esav wants Avodas Zorah. He wants evil. Now the last part of this Maimer, which I think the following, that why is it that Yaakov deserves reward for his Maisim Tovim, Esav deserves punishment for his Maisa Roim? After all, already in the fetal stage, it was clear that this was their nature from the time of birth. This one and that one. The answer is that when they both came out to the Avir Olam, they were born, Vayetze Arishon Admoni Kulo Kaderes Seor. And Yaakov Avinu is Oche Yada Ocheses Be'akev Esav. What's going on over here is that Al Yidei Achiza Zusha Ochaz Yaakov Be'akev Esav Kibel Yaakov Chelik Ra Me'akev Esav. Yaakov Avinu had to get close, so to speak, to rub shoulders with Esav in order to combat Esav. And as a result, something rubs off. Achizazu Atzma, Kibel Esav Chelik Tov, Miyodo Shel Yaakov. When Yaakov grabs on to Esav, Esav receives a little bit of Tov. So Esav has a drop of Tov mixed into him. He's got a simon tara of a chazir who's mafresis parsa. Yaakov, on the other hand, somehow gets imbued with a klipa of the chazir and a challenge of evil. And the answer is the following. On the one hand, the achiza of Yaakov and his kedusha and Esav is going to accomplish a great goal. He's going to watch out for Esav and his tricks. But Zegaram li Esav shikabel the Yaakov of Simon Tar. What was Esav's choice now? Esav receives from Yaakov a Simon Tar. The question is, what is Esav going to do with the Chelik HaTov Shebo? With that element that rubbed off on Esav from Yaakov Avinu? And the answer is, that's the choice. And Esav chooses to ignore, lisgaber, to alienate himself from the Chelik HaTov, to be totally dedicated b'maisav haroyim. We hardly even see any expression of the Yaakov Avinu that's in Esav, of the good. The good is almost batel, completely gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Yaakov. Calls Yaakov Yaakov. Why? V'yado ochezes bakev Esav. What is the chashivus of Yaakov? Why does he deserve schar? True, he links up and rubs shoulders with Esav, and some part of the chelek hara of Esav is now transmitted over to Yaakov. But Yaakov is going to overcome all of that chelek hara. He's going to be dedicated exclusively and only to the chelek hatov, and that's why he deserves schar. And now we begin to understand something about Esav, a klipas Esav, as the chazir. You ask me, we have two simonim. One simon is the simon tumah. The chazir is not malagera. On the other hand, he has a simon tara. He has mafresis parsa. We have a very, shall we say, complex individual. Someone who is a split personality. Now, there is a battle within Esav. The two simonim are fighting each other out. Who will become the most powerful moving force and cause for action and behavior in the life of Esav? Is it the external simon tara that is the mafresis parsa, or is it the internal simon tuma that he's not malagera? What's it going to be? Which is going to win out? If he uses the simon tara mibachutz for the good, then he can defeat and subjugate his simon tuma mibifnim. But if on the other hand he takes his simon tara mibachutz and he uses it to bring man down, to fool man, to allure man, to convince man that he's doing good when he's really doing evil, if that's the Yetzer that's called the Tzoveya, then we get to Esav, who's the most evil Esav of a Yetzer that passed by and exceeded all the bounds. And this is what the Pasuk means. Vayehi Esav ish yodea tzayit. What happened to Esav when he matured? When he became an adult? What did he do with his simon tara? He could have used his simon tara to control his life and to subjugate his inner simon tuma. But instead, he became an ish yodea tzayit. Says Rashi, lotzu to l'ramos es oviv b'fiv. He used his simon tara, his simon tara as a method, as a conduit for fooling his father. Ke'ilu is medadik b'mitzvahs. He became the personification of Lotzud Ularamos. He uses his simon tara to allure people and fool them. And really, he is totally dedicated to his simon tuma mibifnim. And therefore, in the last paragraph, we have an obligation to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov, be very careful in our lives, to control and subjugate the Simon Tuma, that secret Simon Tuma that's below the surface. What we need is to rededicate ourselves with Shlemus to Esek HaTorah. The Torah is going to be the only power that we can avail ourselves of to defeat the menuvel zeh, mashcheu lebeis hamedrash. If we take that menuvel into the beis hamedrash, then he doesn't have the power to fool us, because the Torah is the R, and we'll see with perfect clarity what the difference is between Tumah v'Tara, what's real and what's fabricated. Hakol Kol Yaakov. If we are zochet to dedicate ourselves to the Kol Yaakov in the Bati Knisos and Bati Midrashos, then Ein Ayodayim Yidei Esav. Then Esav will not be able to fool us. He will not be able to be the Tzoveya and to present Simone Taro, when in truth he is hiding and concealing Simone Tuma. The Kol of Yaakov is Mevatel, the Simon Tuma of Esav. And Esav will no longer be able to have any control. He will not be able to use his Simon Tahara in his Mafreses Parsa to allure us and to fool us. May we be zochet to that Esek HaTorah. Kei Yiratzon. Amen.
Amen.